We find here in our chapter that the people of God are gathered together in prayer and in praise to seek the Lord. And we're told that God's glory came down and filled the house. And we would have to say, as we consider this wonderful chapter, we would have to say, as the people of God gather to pray and to praise the Lord, that that is our desire also, that God would come down in power and meet with us, that God would meet with us in such a fashion that God would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a spiritual blessing, that there would be the blessing of God upon His people, that there would be among us that conscious sense of the presence of the Lord in our midst. You observe here in this chapter how the people were engaged. In our text in verse 13, it says they came together and they were engaged in praising the Lord and in giving thanks, in praising and thanking the Lord. As they did so, God met with them. God came down and met with them. They were praising God for His goodness and for His mercy. You have there the very words that they were saying. They were looking to the Lord. They were joined together saying, "For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." And as they took up that note of praise, as they were engaged in this holy activity, the cloud came down and filled the house, the temple of the Lord. We realize here that the temple had been constructed. It was now finished. It was now furnished. Those things that were dedicated by David and given to Solomon for the temple were brought in. The Levites brought the Ark of God that contained the tables of the law, and they put it in its place. Solomon, the elders, and all the people had been offering up sacrifices unto the Lord, a multitude of sacrifices. Solomon himself stood up before the congregation and offered prayer unto God. The people united together in prayer and in praise and giving thanks, lifting up their voice and saying, "Praise the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." Then we read that the windows of heaven were opened. The cloud came down and filled the house of God. And friends, today, as our hearts are satisfied in God, as we come to commune with God and lift up our voices and our praise to Him, there is the promise of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's the promise of God's presence with us. We understand that none can properly sing and praise God but those whose sins are covered by the blood of sprinkling. You notice here, and you'll observe that this singing that the people were engaged in praising and thanking the Lord, this singing came after the sacrifice, after the shedding of the blood of the lambs and the sheep that were slain there as a shadow of the one who would come, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world, who would take away our sins. And so this singing comes after the sacrifice had been made. But those who have never been to the altar of God, those who have never known the application of the blood of Jesus Christ to their hearts, those who have never seen the Lord, cannot properly praise Him. For after all, those who have not come to Him and have not seen His beauty are still in their sins. The unconverted man really sees no beauty in the Lord Jesus Christ that he should desire Him. He has not seen Him. He has not known Him. Therefore, there's no melody of praise in his heart to his God for what the Lord has done, because he's still in his sins. Perhaps there's some here today who cannot sing. Singing comes after sacrifice. True praise to God is because of the redemption that He has accomplished for us. Some of you cannot sing, for you're still in your sins. Some of you cannot sing because you resist His Word. Some of you resist Him. You resist the striving of the Spirit of God with you. You resist His way of salvation. You reject Him. You despise the Lord Jesus Christ. And worse still, you are resisting the Holy Ghost. He strives with men. But today you're unhappy. Your soul is not satisfied. Because you are not fed and nourished up in the words of faith, your soul is not hid with God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you cannot sing. You are yet prayerless. You are still in your sins. You are yet Christless. And therefore, you have no real joy. What a miserable condition is the natural sinners. But those who have been born again of the Spirit of God, those who are redeemed by the shed blood of Christ that has been offered once for sin, they can sing. We sing praise to God. Only those who are redeemed are really accepted. You see that here. The sacrifice had been made. They were accepted upon the grounds of the shed blood of the Lamb. And likewise, our praying, our praise, our faith, our repentance, our worship, whatever it may be, is only acceptable to God upon the grounds of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Not upon our own merits, not upon our own works, no matter how good we may see ourselves to be. We are only accepted upon the basis of the blood of Jesus Christ. Our prayers, our praise, our faith, our repentance, our worship is acceptable to God because they are sprinkled with the precious blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And therefore, we have a cause to sing. Believers should praise God for what He has done. Believers should praise God for what He is in Himself. He is gracious. He is merciful. Why were they singing here? They were singing about God's grace. They were singing about God's mercy towards them. And when a sinner comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're drawn by the love of God. We are drawn by the grace and by the mercy of God. And it is God who takes us out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, who washes us and sets us upon the rock, Christ Jesus. And what does He do? He puts a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. Isn't that what the psalmist tells us over in Psalm 40? We read those very words there. Psalm 40, the verse 3, "And He, God, hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are toward us. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered." It's the thoughts of God toward us, the thoughts of love, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, the thoughts of reconciliation through the blood. That is what draws us. That is the new song that He gives us. We are to sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Those who are blind now see. Those who are deaf now hear. Those whose hearts were hard are melted and were brought in to the kingdom of Christ. We stand in Christ, really to stand in the perfection and the sacrifice of Christ is to stand justified, to behold the love of God. Today, believers are to praise God. The redeemed of the Lord are to come into His presence with singing. We praise Him, as we were singing earlier, for His grace and favor. We praise Him for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. How merciful God has been to our souls. He has not left us in our sin. He has plucked us as brands from the burning. He has washed us in the pool of Siloam. He has brought us to Himself. We praise Him. And He has made us His people. It's the blood of Christ. Singing comes after sacrifice. It is the blood of the great sacrifice, that one offering for sin forever, that makes anything we do acceptable to God. Our best prayers, our best praises, our best faith, our little faith, could not be received by God were it not for the merit of Christ and His atoning sacrifice. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul tells us, we are accepted. In Him, we are redeemed. In Him, we are forgiven. In Christ, we are accepted by God the Father. So, the redeemed of the Lord have a reason to sing today. We sing for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. But then you notice here, also if you turn back to 2 Chronicles chapter 5, not only the work that they were engaged in praising and thanking the Lord, as we gather here today on Thanksgiving, we gather to do the same, to praise the Lord and to thank Him. What you notice also in our text, the manner of their praise and worship. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, lifted up their voice. Then the house was filled with a cloud. The glory of the Lord came down. We see here the manner of their praise. They were united in praise. The trumpeters and the singers, the elders and the people were gathered, it says, as one to make one sound unto the Lord. Their hearts were all as one heart. There were thousands of voices to be heard. There were different instruments of music to be heard, but there was one note of praise. There was one heart as they united there. They were sounding forth one harmonious melody unto God. Their hearts were all in tune with God. And the children of God ought to be one in their praises of Him. God had given them here one heart. He had given them one song, a new song. They were engaged in praising and thanking the Lord. That was the reason of their gathering, to praise the Lord for His goodness. And it was then that the blessing of God fell upon them. It reminds us of what we read in the book of Acts about the apostles. The people on the day of Pentecost. We are told there that they were all with one accord in one place. And the Spirit of God came down and met with them. And there was a great revival. There was a conversion of some 3,000 souls. God met with them. It reminds us also of what Christ prays in His high priestly prayer in John 17. Prays that His people would be as one, that they would be gathered as one. They would be one with the Father, as Christ was one with the Father. And then they would know the blessing and the glory of God that comes down. As we are united to God, one in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessing of God flows to us. It is through Christ that we have every blessing. Every blessing is obtained in the Lord Jesus Christ. And being one in Him obtains the blessing of God. We have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is only in Christ that we would know the blessing of God. And as Christ said to His disciples, and as He prayed there in their hearing in John 17, "The glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them, that they may be one." We would know the glory of God in our midst. The psalmist over in Psalm 133 prays to that end as well. And that the people would be united in the house of God. Brethren would be dwelling together in unity, because how sweet and how pleasant is it for brethren to dwell together in unity. And he gives the analogy there of the ointment that was poured out. The anointing of Aaron, the high priest, the oil was poured upon his head, flowed down to the body, right to the skirts of the garment. And as we know the blessing of God and the Spirit of God flowing to us from our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the head of the church, the body. We know the blessing of God that follows, because it says here in Psalm 133 that as that oil flowed down, it was as the dew of Hermon that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. It is as the Spirit of God comes and reveals to our heart the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, opens our eyes to see that once for all sacrifice, the blood that has been shed, that we are blessed in Christ. We have life, life forevermore, eternal life He gives. But the blessing of God falls upon the people of God who are united in praise and in giving thanks. This is a true spiritual unity. The oil there in Psalm 133, it speaks to us and it points to the Spirit of God working. The anointing oil of the Spirit upon the people of God. It speaks of true spiritual unity. As Aaron the high priest was called out from among the people, set apart for a holy purpose, to do his priestly work, to offer up himself unto God, to make intercession for the people, so he knew the anointing of God's Spirit upon him. He was upheld by the Spirit of God. He was anointed and equipped for the task. And likewise, we as the people of God must know the anointing of God's Spirit upon the work of our hands, the work of God that we take up. And as the children of God unite in praise to God, we are united to one another by the same Holy Spirit. Isn't that what Paul tells us over in Ephesians chapter 4? Speaking there of the true spiritual unity that exists between believers, those who are in Christ. In verse 3 of Ephesians 4, he says, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ that rules in our hearts, commands the blessing of God upon the people of God. We are to be united to God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the application of the work of redemption to our hearts by the Spirit of God. So they were as one. And we ought to be as one in our desire for the extension of God's kingdom. We ought to be as one in our desire to see God glorified and lifted up. We ought to be as one in seeing and having that burden of our hearts to see souls won to the Lord Jesus Christ, united to Him in the fear of God and of holiness. May the Lord make us one. Because you notice here, as they were engaged in praising and thanking the Lord, they did it as one, with one heart, with one sound. It was then that the blessing of God came upon them. It was then that the blessing of God was obtained, because it says in our text, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. The blessing was obtained. The spiritual heart unity of God's people in Christ leads to spiritual blessing. The blessing flows to us from Christ our head. Notice the effects here of their unity of praise. The cloud, it says, came down and filled the house. The cloud, the glorious presence of God, filled the temple of God. God's glory was manifest in their midst. The cloud filled the house. That same cloud which led them through the Red Sea, that same cloud that led them through the wilderness, was the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Now that same cloud came and filled the holy place. God's glory was manifest. Such was the glorious effect that followed their fervent praises and prayer. God Himself came down and filled the house with His presence. What a picture we have here of the coming of the Spirit of God upon God's people, attending to their worship, attending to their prayer, attending to their praise. And God coming down to meet with us, His spiritual presence in the house, filling every heart. Our hearts really are the spiritual temple of God. And we need the Spirit of God to fill us to the uttermost, if we are to know the fullness of the blessing of God in our lives. How glorious this will be for the children of God when the Spirit of God meets with us and fills the house of God with His glory. If you turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 and the verse 18, the exhortation of the apostle to the churches, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Taken up with spiritual themes, praising the Lord and giving Him thanks always. But notice here, what is it that gives evidence of the filling of the Holy Spirit? What is it that gives evidence of His abiding presence? It is the fact that the Spirit of God fills the heart of the children of God with joy and with singing, that they break forth and they open their mouth in praise to God, giving thanks unto Him, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. There is that song of praise. It's an evidence that there has been a work of God's Spirit in your heart. An evidence of the infilling of the Spirit. Joy floods the soul and the heart is in tune with God. But likewise, the honor and the praise that God's servants give to the worthy Lamb, to the Lord Jesus Christ, brings down the blessing of God. Not only is it a token, the Spirit of God filling their hearts is a token of what God has done, so that they open their mouth in praise, but that praise in and of itself is a thankful acknowledgement of God's mercy in Christ, and it exalts Him. You notice what it says there in the verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, exalting Him, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing. Praise and thanksgiving goes up to the Lord. And as that praise goes up to the Lord is pleased to bless His people. The Lord is pleased to honor His people. The Lord is pleased to acknowledge His people as they acknowledge Him. The blessing of God and His Spirit falls upon them. The cloud filled the house of God and how we are to cry for the infilling of the Holy Spirit day by day. That Spirit of God that comes to reside within our hearts at the new birth. When we are born again, we're born again of the Spirit of God. He gives to us a new heart. He gives to us a new song. He's promised to abide with us forever. He's our comforter. Not only is He our comforter, He's our sanctifier. And we need to pray for the infilling of the Spirit of God, that we would be a holy people, a people set apart for the purposes of God, that all that we say and all that we do would please the Lord. There needs to be the Spirit's power evident in our lives. We need to be delivered from this body of sin. The Apostle Paul cried, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin?" We need the power of the Spirit of God to overcome the power of sin in our lives. We need the Spirit of God to fill our hearts. We need the Spirit of God to renew our minds, to take away those habits that are not towards godliness. This is what we need. We lament. How often we lament our powerlessness in the things of God. How often we lament that we do not make full use of our privileges in God, in Christ Jesus. God must visit us. As the people of God, we need this in a desperate way. We need to be praying desperate prayers that God would come and visit us in revival. Visit us, that His Spirit would come down and the cloud of the glory of the Lord would fill His house. We need to pray for a full working of the Spirit of God. How glorious this will be for the people of God. To be renewed, to be empowered, to be enabled to do the work of God. It's by the help of the Spirit of God. But how glorious it will be to the unconverted around us. As the Spirit of God comes to our hearts, we mentioned that Psalm 40. The Lord puts a new song in our mouth. Many shall see it and shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. Such are the effects of a godly people in this world. Such are the effects of a people who are walking in light in the midst of this dark world. As the Spirit of God comes, there will be blessings dispensed all around us. Again, you think of the days of the apostles as the Spirit of God first came upon the apostles and the disciples at Pentecost, so that that small band of ordinary men who had no great education, no great abilities in and of themselves, they were just ordinary men. But as the Spirit of God came upon them, as God took them up and used them, that small band of disciples at Pentecost saw the conversion of 3,000 souls. So we need first the Spirit of God to fill our hearts, and then on those around us. A blessing is dispensed to all around. And when the fire of God falls upon the righteous, there will be godly effects in those around us. When the Spirit of God descends upon us, then there will be a holy effect to dead souls around us. There will be that desire to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The light will shine forth in the darkness. We will be as the salt, a savor of life to those who are dead in their trespasses and in their sins. The cloud filled the house. Such were the glorious effects. And so, as we consider that, let us unite in prayer. Let us unite in praise. Let us prove the Lord. He says, "Prove me now, that I might open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing." A blessing in the conversion of souls that are dead in their sin. Not for our own sakes, but for the sakes of perishing souls all around us. And for the sakes of God's glory, we need to see a wonderful work of the Spirit of God. But not only does it say that the glory of God was manifest in their midst, it also says there in verse 14 that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. The priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. No doubt before they were faithful, they were taken up with offering prayers and offering up incense and making sacrifice unto the Lord. They were faithful in their duties. But when the cloud came down and filled the house, all they could do was wonder and adore the Lord. They could not minister. And when God pours out His Spirit, He will make it evident then that it's not a work of man. It's not because of the priests. It's simply the hand of God at work. The priests could not minister. God came down and met with them. And this is the kind of working we need to see in this day and age in which we live. When God fills the house here, He makes it plain that the priest, that man, has nothing to do with it. David Brainerd said that when God awakened His congregation of Indians to which He ministered, He stood by amazed and felt that He was nothing and that God alone was working. Felt that He was nothing and that God alone was working. You have heard of the reports, the early days of the Free Presbyterian Church. You have heard Dr. Paisley talking about that mini revival that swept through the church in the early days at the commencement of the work. We were talking in the Sunday school about that expectancy week by week. There was an expectancy to see souls saved and brought into the kingdom of God. People coming forth and putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God was at work. Each week, week by week, there were souls saved. And you have heard Dr. Paisley say it. We were nothing more than spectators. Nothing more than spectators. This was the finger of God. This was the working of God alone. And this is what we need to see. This is what we are to pray for. That the Spirit Himself would descend in power. That the Spirit Himself would do that deep work of conviction, conviction of sin within the hearts of the hearers of the gospel. We cannot do this work. As ministers, we gathered last week and we lament and we confess our powerlessness. We cannot save one soul, not one soul. That alone is the work of God, but we must pray for it. We pray that the Lord would do this work, that He would come down. That He would break hard hearts and that He would take all the glory, that the priests could not minister. That we would say, this is nothing but the finger of God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give the Lord glory. Unto the name of the Lord. May the Lord then do it for His own name's sake. We pray that the Lord would break forth on the right hand and on the left. That there would be the extension of His work. There would be the building of His kingdom. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. We need to see the Lord coming down in a mighty way and working in our hearts, renewing our hearts and our minds, giving us a love for the things of God, and making us to be a light in this dark world that many would see it and would trust in Him.